Let us pray. God of love, you have come among us in the flesh, sharing the dangers and fragility of the flesh. Among those who fear and hate, you have come as a child, defenseless and tender. Speak to us now and give us courage that in a world of hardness, we may be children of peace. Amen. Now a reading from the prophet Isaiah. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Holy One. Because of all that the Lord has done for us, the wonderful things God has done for us, that God has shown us according to God's mercy, according to the abundance of God's steadfast love. For God said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And you became their Savior in all their distress. It was not merely a messenger or an angel, but your presence that saved us. In your love and in your pity, you redeemed us. You lifted us up and carried us all the days of old. The word of life. Now, a reading from the letter to the Hebrews. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through suffering. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in God. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since the children of God are flesh and blood, Jesus likewise shared the same things, so that in dying he destroys the power of death and the devil who exercises that power, and frees those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that Jesus did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Sarah and Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Hear the word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's gospel. When the Magi had departed, an angel from God appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, take the child and his mother and go to Egypt and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. So Joseph got up. And he took the child and his mother by night, and they went to Egypt, and they stayed there until Herod had died. This was to fulfill what God had spoken through the prophet. Out of Egypt I have called my son. Now when Herod realized that the Magi had fooled him, he was furious. And he sent and had all the children in Bethlehem killed up to 2 years old, according to the age that he had learned from the Magi. And then was heard what the prophet had talked about. Wailing and lamentation, a voice in Ramah. Rachel crying for her children, weeping. Because they are no more. Well, that's an awful part of the story. It got us this lovely carol, but I'm not sure it was worth it. Why does Matthew throw that ugly part into the Christmas story? It's all going along nice with angels and shepherds and even the magi. He could have just said, and Herod was mad, and so Joseph took the family and they hid. Why do we have to have the slaughter of the innocents? Well, there's a couple things going on. One reason is because we have the slaughter of the innocents. That's real life. And Matthew isn't going to leave it out. Innocent children are being slaughtered all the time. Think of all the kids who are suffering right now around the world who don't get presents around a Christmas tree. They get their houses bombed in Syria. Or they get separated from their families at our southern border. Or they are malnourished because of cuts in SNAP funding. Kids are getting picked on all the time, and Matthew simply is being realistic. It feels like an interruption to the Christmas story, but it's actually the point of the Christmas story. Jesus didn't come to make us happy. He came to save us from our own evil and greed and violence. And the way he saved us from the violence was to come right into the middle of it. So Jesus is among those who is endangered. And partly Matthew was reminding us that not everybody got off as easy as Jesus did. In fact, this is sort of a little bit of foreshadowing because 30 years later, Jesus won't get off so easy either. Matthew was reminding us of the human cost of empire. And it might be the Roman Empire. It might just be our own private little empires. Whenever we decide our lives are more important than somebody else's, we have empire and the innocents get slaughtered. Whether it's the rich against the poor, or whites against people of color, or Americans against immigrants, or straight people against gay, whatever it is, maybe it's just my side of the argument against yours. Whenever somebody decides that their life matters more than somebody else's, then somebody else is going to get hurt. And Matthew is showing us this is how bad it is. This is how much we need somebody to come along and show us how to be gentle, even in the face of all of that evil. Partly because that's not all that's going on. The gospel story goes on. When Herod died, suddenly an angel of God appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, for those who have sought the child's life have died." So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother and went back to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over the land of Judea instead of Herod, he was afraid. He didn't want to go there. So instead, they went to Galilee and they made their home in a little town called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the prophet. They will call him a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. Remember when Joseph in the book of Genesis was sold into slavery, that other Joseph, and he was carted off to Egypt, and we're thinking, oh my gosh, this is bad. And he was thrown in prison, and we're thinking, oh my golly, this is terrible. God knows how to deal with that. And when at the end of that story, Joseph reveals himself to his brother, he says, "You meant to do me harm, but God knows how to make this story a good one." That's what's going on with the Christmas story. Not just that bad things happen. Bad things will happen. God will be in them. God has a bigger picture. And somehow, no matter how bad it is, God's love will always end up being the one that survives. You notice that Herod was trying to kill Jesus, but who died first? Herod did. And Matthew uses that phrase three times. Herod died, Herod died, Herod died. As if there are three little affirmations. Herod died. Now later on, Jesus will die, but not really. Matthew is already preparing us for Good Friday and Easter. No matter what happens, God has already planned for an ending that includes the grace of God. It doesn't matter how many people evil slaughters, still at the end, God's grace is still standing. And that is our story. That's the Christmas story. God has come to be with us. And no matter what happens, God will be with us. No matter how awful it is, God's grace will be the punchline of the story. No matter how far we have to travel to get there, we will discover God's love there for us from the beginning, there with us, always. That's the real good news of Christmas. That grace that's there no matter what. Gives us the courage to take some pretty long, frightening journeys to an Egypt where we've never been. And we know we'll make it through. And we'll come home. Because God is with us. Trust that. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for your unfailing presence. Not just angels or messengers, but your very presence. That you are willing to suffer and struggle with us. That your grace will prevail in the end. Teach us to trust that grace. God, for your infinite love, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.